everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at I Eat Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And even though it is raining here in New York, it is still a beautiful day and filling up our aquifers and, depositing beautiful water on all of our plants so they will be healthy going into the winter. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. I have a great show planned for you. Barbara Storper, national award-winning nutritionist and founder of Food Play Productions, will be joining me on the show in just a little bit. But at first, of course, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some ways you can take action, and of course, my weekly recipe with all of you. So first, I'm going to start with some happy news, because we all know there's so much news to be concerned about. But this is something worth celebrating. This year, all students in any public school can get a free meal for lunch and breakfast. And that is big. Usually, in order to sign up for the National School Lunch Program, you have to meet certain criteria, be on the poverty level, etc. Well, this year, they had extended that, the summer program, which is a little bit more lenient, they had extended to include through the end of 2020. But they just decided to extend that to the end of the school year. And they may extend it past that because then it goes right back into summer. But anyway, what that means is that all students, whether they're learning in school or they're at home learning and parents are picking up bagged meals for them. Either way, kids can just grab and go, get their meals, and that is really great news. Unfortunately, the statistics are showing that over a third of all families are food insecure. Families that have children are food insecure right now, especially with this pandemic going on. And so it is really just such a wonderful thing that all students can have access to a breakfast and lunch. It's unbelievable to think, but for so many kids, they come home to empty refrigerators. There is not food in the house. And having food at school really makes a difference for them. And many school districts are even providing food for the weekends for these kids. So that's really just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, well, that's it for the happy news. Then we go on to the other news, and we all know that political tensions are rising all over the place. There's voter intimidation happening. Protesters collided with Jews for Trump in the city just this past weekend, and it got really ugly. And so there is actually a website called csay2020.com, where if you see any voter intimidation taking place at any polling place, they are asking us all to participate and call log into csay2020.com and let them know where you've seen that happen. It's just really, scary times. We are living in a situation where we have a president who has denounced the smooth transition of power if he loses. And it's a serious, serious problem. If you are motivated to help the Democrats win in this election, there is a lot of phone banking going on. We not only are trying to win the presidency, which is obvious, but we're also trying to take back the Senate. You see what happens when we don't have the Senate. This week, the Judiciary Committee just voted to confirm Amy, Amy to the Supreme Court, and that is just really, really bad news for all of us. So we need to win back the Senate this year, and so there is opportunities for phone banking, and I have a list of places that you can sign up with. You can go to Grassroots Democrats, you can go to Swing Left, Get Out the Vote. There's many different places where you can sign up to help phone bank or text from the comfort of your home. And that's really, really important to do. So if you have any time to donate to this election, please do so. And of course, I don't even need to say we all need to get out there and vote. Another thing I'd like you to take action with, and I have a petition on my website at iegreen.com under Take Action, is to tell Biden, who hopefully will be our next president, but he's already, you know, thinking about who he's going to be assigning to different departments, and he's considering as the Secretary of Agriculture, North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp, and she is not the right person for the job. She has close connections to corporate agribusiness. She supports the Keystone Pipeline. She takes money from Monsanto and the Koch brothers, and she was the first Democratic senator to endorse Sonny Perdue as Trump's Secretary of State. So she's just really the wrong person for the job. I remember one of the first positions that Obama appointed was the Secretary of Agriculture to Tom Vilsack, and he was also the wrong person. He was voted as the by the agribusiness organization at their big conference. He was voted the most important governor that they had. So he was just really the wrong choice. And yet, next to Trump's Sonny Perdue makes Tom Vilsack look like a winner. But anyway, needless to say, we want to let Biden know before he actually even gets elected that we're looking to him to make better choices than North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp. So please, please sign that petition. And now I would like to share with you this week's recipe. I made a vegan sausage and peppers dish that was vegan sausage, peppers, onions, mushrooms, and peas. And I sampled a couple different vegan sausages before I decided on the field roast Italian choice. I think that was the best one that had, you know, a good texture. So that's the one that I'm going to recommend here. But you can really use any vegan sausage that you find or that you like. And the one that I chose was an Italian vegan sausage from Field Roast. So this vegan sausage also has peppers, onions, mushrooms, and peas in it. And it was really, really good. So these are the ingredients. You need 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1 package of Field Roast Italian vegan sausage, 2 bell peppers, assorted colors, 2 yellow onions, 2 cups of chopped mushrooms, 1 cup of frozen peas, 1 teaspoon of sea salt or kosher salt, 1 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1 teaspoon of dried basil, 4 teaspoons of minced garlic, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 cup of Marsala wine, plus 1 tablespoon of Marsala wine that I'll add when I'm sautéing the mushrooms, and 1 teaspoon of tamari that also goes into the mushrooms, 1 15-ounce can of fire-roasted diced tomatoes, 1/4 teaspoon red pepper flakes, which is optional if you'd like it to be a little bit spicy, and 1/4 cup of chopped parsley. So you're first going to cut the vegan sausage down the middle lengthwise, and then you're going to cut them into 1-inch pieces. And the reason for this is you want to be able to saute them and really get the sausage pieces a little bit golden brown, so they have a little bit of a seared edge on them. So you're going to heat 2 tablespoons of the olive oil in a heavy, large skillet over medium heat. Add the vegan sausages, cut side down so that those cook first until they're golden brown, and then turn them over so that you're grilling the other side about 7 or 10 minutes until those sausages all look seared on all the edges. And then you're going to remove the sausages from the pan and line a plate with paper towel to absorb any of the extra oil. So you're going to keep the pan over medium heat, and then you're going to saute the mushrooms right into the same pan with 1 teaspoon of the minced garlic. And you're going to cook that until the mushrooms are seared as well. And then once they're seared and any liquid has been absorbed, you're going to add 1 tablespoon of Marsala wine to that and 1 teaspoon of tamari, and cook until all of the liquid is absorbed into the mushrooms and the mushrooms are dry, and then you can set the mushrooms aside. then I actually used a wok or a larger pan because the pan that I did the mushrooms in wasn't big enough. And I added the remaining oil. Then when the oil was hot, I added the peppers, the onions, the salt and pepper, and cooked those until the onions were translucent and the peppers were soft. That took about 5 minutes. Then I added the oregano and the basil and the remaining garlic and cooked for another few minutes. Then you're going to add the tomato paste to that and stir that in and just cook it a little bit. Cooking the tomato paste actually deepens the color and enriches the flavor a little bit, makes it a little bit more umami flavor. So just cook that a little bit. Then you're going to add the Marsala wine to that, the diced tomatoes, and the chili flakes if you're using them, and stir that all to combine and bring that to a simmer. Then you can add the vegan sausage back into that and the frozen peas and stir that all up. And then let it cook. Let that sauce cook down for about 15 minutes, and it will start to thicken from the tomato paste. And the flavors just deepen even more. Right before serving, you're going to add the mushrooms and the parsley and combine those. You can save a few mushrooms and parsley to garnish on the top. And you're going to serve that either with rice or another grain that you like. It also can be a great sandwich if you are into a sausage hero type of thing. You can just put it onto a baguette. But I served it with rice, and it was just delicious. Everybody couldn't get enough. So I hope you make the recipe. As you know, I love hearing from everybody when you do make the recipes. So if you have any feedback for me, please share that with me. And now it is my pleasure to introduce to all of you my guest this week, Barbara Storper. She is a national award-winning nutritionist and leader in the field of children's nutrition. She's the founder and executive director of Food Play Production, a nutrition education organization that brings the power of live theater to turn kids onto healthy habits. Her shows have reached more than 5 million children across the country, with evaluations showing dramatic improvements in children's eating and physical activity habits. She received a host of national nutrition and media awards, plus an Emmy Award when her show was made for TV. Barbara combines a background in journalism, theater arts, and nutrition to create live and virtual theater shows, fun resources, children books, and videos to turn kids onto healthy eating. She's a popular speaker and media spokesperson, presenting parents and educators with creative strategies to help kids see through media message and make choices that are good for their health and the health of the planet. You can check out her website at Family Productions and to learn more about her show, just peruse that website. It's really full of great information. But it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you to Barbara. Barbara, are you with me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, sure, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Sure, so maybe you can just tell my listeners first a little bit about Food Play and how you got started and what your inspiration was.
Sure. Well, I was actually a journalist before I became a nutritionist, and now I'm kind of in this world that we're living in now. I'm just I'm so upset about the elections, and I'm just really... So I realized back then I was just as upset about all the thousands and thousands of TV advertisements promoting junk food to kids. As a journalist, I was researching all this kind of stuff. So I got really interested in nutrition for a lot of reasons. So I ended up going to Columbia Teachers College to get my master's in nutrition. And when I was there, I was interning with the New York City Board of Education, who asked if I could present a lecture to an inner city school in Brooklyn on nutrition to 400 kids. And I thought, wow, that is really boring. And so I thought, well, if advertisers were so successful getting kids turned on to unhealthy food, why couldn't we use similar techniques to get kids excited about healthy foods? And so
Brilliant.
I loved theater. I thought theater was really powerful and engaging. And I thought, well, why don't we use the techniques of the power of live theater? It's very inspirational, motivating, and I had actually taken a lot of training. I was actually a juggler, and I had taken clowning and mime and theater arts and storytelling and puppetry. So I kind of put it all together into a show And the night before, I actually did it with my boyfriend at the time, and we kind of looked at all the major issues affecting kids and what did they need to know and how can we help them see through all the media messages that they're getting, turning them on to all the wrong practices and all the unhealthy foods. And we decided to call our show Food Play at the last minute. And we presented this show that had juggling and music and theater, lots of audience participation, to this audience of 400 kids in Brooklyn. And, I mean, it was very ragtag at the time. We had spent like $50 in props at the local Salvation Army. And it turned out the kids loved it. And we actually were amazed. The School Food Service folks were amazed to see that after our program, the kids actually chose white milk instead of chocolate milk, and they kind of had a lot less fruit and vegetable garbage because the kids were actually trying their fruits and vegetables, which was, you know, something that was a real goal for us. And so Food Play was kind of born that way, and that was back. I mean, I hate to say it, but it was in 1982. And so since then, I've been able to – I was in the show – performing for, you know, maybe 20 years. And finally, we had all these wonderful opportunities to do other things, create resources and TV specials. So I actually hired real actors, performers, trained them. And we would have tours all over the country bringing our Food Play show to schools and community centers and libraries to turn kids on to healthy habits.
That's great. So how many shows can you do at one time? I assume you have people across the country in different areas that you've trained.
Yeah. Well, actually now, of course, we're not doing any live shows. So this last, you know, several months has been a real, you know, it's been hard for everyone. We've
right.
actually taken our shows off the road, and we've created a one-person, well, we have in the last few years, this big production of shows touring the country, it became really untenable and kind of too costly for schools, and grants were drying up. So we created a smaller show called To Be Fit, or Toby, To Be Fit, the Juggling Nutrition Magician Show, which is much more affordable, and it's a really adorable performance. And so that show, we're actually, we made it virtual, which is really exciting because kids are just, you know, oh my God, they're stuck in front of the, you know, the computer for so long, just watching a talking head. And so this show that we're doing now, we're able to, just with a link away, a school can just have our live show coming into the classroom or coming into the kids at home. And it's just a really fun way to interact directly with the kids and get our messages across, which I think are even more important now than ever, as kids are sort of sedentary, staying at home, stuck at home, and there's a lot of eating going on. There's a lot of, you know, mm-hmm. comfort eating and stress eating, and we're really hoping that kids and families use this opportunity to have fun in the kitchen, learning how to make healthy food. It's just like the perfect time.
Right, right. That's great because, you know, right now, I don't know if you know, I'm the farm-to-school coordinator at a
yes.
local public school district
yeah.
here on Long Island, and they have put me on hold, and I'm, like,
oh.
furious because this is, like, the best time. All the kids are picking up food, right? And so
right.
in every lunch, whereas before I would go around and offer samples and kids had the choice of taking it or not, right now, we could be putting fresh fruit or vegetable in every lunch bag with a handout, you know, that talks about the vegetable and why it's healthy, and and they're just missing this opportunity. And, you know, I guess their bandwidth is just so full with all the different
yeah.
things that they've had to accommodate with the pandemic that I was just one more thing that they just couldn't deal with. And so
you know,
I'm on hold,
what I would
and
suggest,
I'm like,
so Bhavana is, do you say Bhavana?
No, Bhavani.
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 Sorry,
the H is silent.
Bhavani. I'm going to try to remember that. Bhavani. You know, I have just become so empowered lately. Like, you know, because of the elections, because of everything, I'm just not willing anymore to sit back. I just can't sit back anymore. And I'm just, you know, and there's so many details. I think that if you even just wrote up that idea that you just said would be a great idea, try to meet with some people, say that you can handle it. You know, there's no extra work for other people. You know what I mean? I think that we just have to try to make things happen now.
Well, I did do that, but I guess I can do it again.
Yeah, do it again. Maybe some people from your audience can call, you know, and say that we want that, or get some folks on your side. You know, it's really true.
Right.
It's a really good idea. It's a really good
idea. Right, and it's a great opportunity, and so many more kids would even be tasting it. So
I know, and I'm really scared, too. Like, it's really funny. People are so overwhelmed right now, and I don't blame them. Like, I'm scared to call. You know, we had, like, 50 shows canceled last spring, and I'm kind of scared to call these schools and say, oh, do you want to reschedule with a virtual live show? Because I'm scared everybody's so overwhelmed. But it's funny because some of the people I talk to, they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you called me. We're overwhelmed, but our kids aren't getting, you know, interactive, exciting programming that will really help their life. So we are interested. But, you know, it's a really strange, it's just a strange time, as you know.
Yeah, it really is. So can you share with everyone listening what are some of the ways that you use to help educators and parents help kids make better choices? I know, obviously, through the food play, but, you know, if you look at your website, you have just so many resources. So maybe you can just share some of those with everyone.
Sure. In fact, I would love to invite everybody to come to foodplay.com because we have – I love this. These are called Tickets to Fresh Adventure, and they're little snack recipe cards for delicious and nutritious fruit and veggie snacks that are so easy to make for kids. And they can download the Tickets to Fresh Adventure, and they can cut them out, and they can make a little recipe book, or we actually sell them very inexpensively on our, if you go to the Food Play, www.foodplay.com, go to the store, and there's just lots of resources that make good eating and active living great fun. So the Tickets to Fresh Adventure are one way that in this world right now, kids can have fun in the kitchen, make their own recipe booklet, make these little snacks. And I love it all came when I was writing a children's book called Janie Junkfood's Fresh Adventure. And it was so interesting because I've created, you know, live shows and videos and TV specials, and I have always wanted to do a children's book. And it took me probably 7 years to create this book with my illustrator because it's tons and tons of illustrations, almost like an anime kind of book, because I wanted every kid to, you know, regardless of their reading style, to be able to get something out of this. It kind of gives kids everything they need to get off the junk food track and make healthy eating a fun-filled, fresh adventure. But it was so interesting writing the book because when you're an author, you really can't, you have to let the book develop. You have to have your characters develop. You can't go in with what your idea is for the ending kind of thing. And it was really interesting because I wanted to be really authentic about it. And so here's this girl, Janie, who's trying to make the National Junior Juggling Team, and she keeps dropping the balls. So her best friend, who is Toby Fitt, who's kind of my, you know, inner child, Toby Fitt becomes an ace food detective and kind of traces what Janie's doing and finds out that she keeps, you know, kind of making the wrong food choices. And so she, along with the kids in her juggling club, get together. They realize that Janie really hasn't had a lot of experience with healthy food. She's totally used to eating junk food from the store. So you can't just tell, you can't just tell a kid, eat this because it's good for you. It just doesn't work. So it was like this idea that her peer pressure with kids really wanting to support her, they ended up making her their favorite healthy snack every day, 3 weeks before tryouts. And so every snack got a ticket to Fresh Adventure. So she would take the ticket, get the snack, and then she would eat this healthy snack. So that's how the tickets to Fresh Adventure came up. They were like little tickets. So for kids at home and families, I think it's really fun. Like every Friday, maybe your child can give you a ticket and we're going to make chill sticks today. And then the child can give you the ticket and then together you can make chill sticks. And so that's kind of where that came from. But I think when you ask how can parents, you know, help kids, it's really hard because of all the junk food advertisements and that they make all this junky food look like so much fun. So what we try to do is have kids, you know, have parents and teachers make healthy food really fun and attractive. And one of the things we do a lot of is try to just show kids what's in the junk food that they're eating. And one way to do that is be as visual visual as possible, like show the 10 teaspoons of sugar coming out of a can of soda. Another thing we love to do is empower kids with consumer skills. And one of my favorite ones is we always use soda because I feel like soda is like the nutrition public enemy number one. If we can get kids off of soda, that's a really big step. Because they're getting like over 50 pounds of sugar just from soda every year. It seems like the average kid is drinking something like 600 cans of soda a year. And if your kid isn't drinking that,
is that
imagine
true?
How much
600
your
cans of soda a year?
Can
that's
you
like
hear me?
Two a day. Yeah,
yeah,
that's like two sodas
two
a day. Oh, my God.
And what I'd like to say is I'm sure that your listeners are, you know, I'm sure many of them, since they're listening to you, are very concerned about nutrition and health. But one of the things I love about what we do, and I think it's just such a mission of mine, is that we have to level the playing field. Because if your child is eating really healthy and your neighbor isn't, you know, it's a public health issue for all of us. So that's why I love going to a school where there's 400 kids and with all different habits. You know, boy, you know, the schools themselves are all different and the kids and the families are all different. But it's really nice to get everybody in the same, you know, in the same auditorium watching a show, learning about nutrition. So when they go home, they can tell their parents what they learned. And it levels the playing field by giving and empowering kids with skills to see through, you know, the advertisements and all the practices that are happening now. They're even worse than ever with social media. But one of my favorite things to do, and I love to tell teachers that there's so many ways you can integrate, as you know, integrate learning about nutrition and food with the core curriculum. This is a very simple thing that a lot of people don't know. We always teach kids to read it before you eat it. So you look at the ingredient label and you can find out what's in the food you're eating. The main ingredient is listed first. A lot of people don't even know that the main ingredient is listed first and it's in descending order. So the amount of the ingredient, the one that has the most is first. But when you're looking for sugar on the label, like on a can of soda, you'll see it'll say sugar, 40 grams. No one knows what 40 grams is. So I love to teach kids this. I say it's a special formula for math whizzes, and there are 4 grams of sugar in 1 teaspoon. So how are you going to find out how many teaspoons of sugar are in a can of soda? And you have 40 grams, so we figure out we have to divide 40 grams by 4, and that gives you 10 teaspoons. And so every kid can be a sugar detective, come home and tell their parents, hey, Ma, this fruit snack, it's not really real fruit. The first 3 ingredients are different types of sugar, and wow, there's this many teaspoons of sugar in this one little snack. So I think that's a really good way. Kids love to outsmart somebody. Let them outsmart the advertisers and not the parents or the teachers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for older kids, I found, you know, no child or no teenager wants to think that they're being manipulated by the media. And so if you can kind of break through and let them know how they're being manipulated and being told untruths, then they get, you know, really adamant about not wanting to fall for it.
Exactly. That is like, I would say that's probably the thing that I do with our shows and our resources. In fact, we've been able, in the last 6 months, we've created all these wonderful low-cost kind of video remote things that are really easy for a teacher or a school to just share with their families at home or share with your kids in class. We brought our big production food play on. We have food play on the big screen where kids and families can watch it. And then we have something. We made our Janie children's book into a video storybook, which I just love that idea because it means that every kid doesn't have to have their own copy of the book. They just click on and they get to read the book along with our performer who kind of makes the story come to life, and the kids can read along on the video as she presents the show in a really presents the book in a really fun way. But I think the idea of empowering kids to see through media messages is probably one of the best things. I think that plus obviously what you do is, you know, make help kids have a lot of fun in the kitchen to be creative. Because, as you know, fruits and veggies, whole grains, you know, beans, there's so many great things you can do to discover. We're actually doing something called Veggies Got Talent. I'm working to create a kit so kids could put on their own performances to stand up for vegetables. And there are all sorts of ways that they can do, like little videos or advertisements or songs, to stand up for a vegetable of their choice and then try to get kids, other kids to eat it.
That's a great idea. You know, because we all know peer pressure is so powerful.
Right.
So powerful. And, you know, kids... You know, my kids were vegetarian going to school where most kids weren't, and it was really challenging for them. You know, it was one thing when they went to the Waldorf school where a lot of other kids were vegetarians, but once they transferred to the public school and they were so different.
Right, right, right. I know.
It was
a big challenge. You know, it's funny. People don't realize how it's just, you know, sort of we've been in the field for a long time, how hard it is to change habits and how many things are related to food. And, you know, food is related to family. It's related to advertising. It's related to agriculture and politics and just so many things. So what I really love to do, and when I talk to parents, too, is to sort of say, what is your child really interested in? For example, they might be, you know, trying to make the acrobatics team or sports team. So obviously you can connect healthy eating, giving the right kind of energy, that kind of nutrients that they need. But what I love to do now is so many kids are concerned about the planet, as they should be. I love the idea of tying the choice that you make with your fork, with having the impact, a positive impact on the environment. And, you know, even with little kids, I love this example. This is almost like the key, I don't know what a main idea of our show is. You know, we have to make things really simple, especially for little kids. And so we just, I sort of say everything you need to know about food can be found in this one example of the difference between a fresh apple and a fast food apple pie. You know, and then we break it down and we show, like, how do they turn an apple to a fast food apple pie? You know, they take off the skin. The skin's the fiber. It's the best part. They chop it up and they add sugar, fat, salt, and chemical additives. And those are the four things that we eat too much in this country, and they're making us sick. And then they have to cut down trees to get the packaging to package the product. And then what do we do with the packaging? We have to throw it away, which gives us more garbage. Which we really don't need. But the apple, everything about the apple is good for us. It gives us vitamins, minerals, delicious, fresh, refreshing food to eat. And then after we're done, what do you have left? And you have a core with the seeds. And what can you do with the seeds? You can plant them. And then you get apple trees. And then you get more apples. And then you get seeds. And you get trees. So it's like a cycle by Mother Nature, whereas all this processed packaged food is like a dead end. And it's a very, very, very good example for kids to see that they can make choices that are going to be good for their health and good for the health of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. You know, I get your newsletters, and you sent out a great newsletter this week that I want to share with everyone listening because it turned Halloween into a healthy options. You had healthy suggestions for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
And I thought you could share that with everyone. But first, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, maybe you can share those with everyone because I thought they were brilliant.
Oh,
everyone, don't
go
anywhere. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. Everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And if you're just joining us, my guest is Barbara Storper. She is the founder and executive director of Food Play Productions. And right before the break, I was asking Barbara if she could share with us some of her Halloween tips. So, Barbara, you had some so many great ideas.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's not funny. I'm really concerned about the election, so I've been trying to do whatever I can. And then I just thought, you know, the poor kids at home, you know, let's make it fun for them. I'll give them a little holiday cheer. So anyway, so we have like 10 really fun ideas of what parents can do and what school food service people can do if they're packing up, you know, and making fun food for kids to take home or to eat in class in school. So people can actually come to our Facebook page. We have them all there. It's Food Play Productions. Facebook page, but some of my favorites and really easy, because obviously we were taking really easy ideas because the school food service people, as you mentioned, it's awesome. They're serving breakfast and lunches to everyone who wants it, and they are so strapped. There's so much on their plate. So please say thank you to them. Like when you see them, please say thank you. So some ideas are taking clementines and just turning them into little pumpkin teens. We call them pumpkin teens. And you just make a little face like a jack-o'-lantern on a little clementine or on an orange. You can also take a banana, either a whole banana or cut it in half and paint a little ghost face, which is just really taking a marker and putting two little dots for eyes and a bigger mouth, and that turns them into boo-nanas. You can make little face pizzas, you know, baby pizzas, and just with the mozzarella cheese, you just make them into strips and you put them on the tomato sauce as if they're bandages. And then you take olives or slices of olives for the eyes and call it mummy pizza. You can take little mozzarella sticks and just, again, put the black marker on the outside, obviously on the package, on the plastic, and you make little eyes and a big, you know, round mouth for a ghost stick, since it's white. And then there's a lot of, you know, there's actually a lot of orange and black foods that you can just combine. You can make kebabs with cantaloupe cubes and blackberries. You can make a black bean dip and serve it in a container that's inside of a pumpkin. Or you can make, you know, bread. If you can get darker, you know, whole grain like pumpernickel or whole wheat little rolls, cut them out and then put the black bean soup or squash soup or pumpkin soup inside there. That's a really fun thing to do. So those are some ideas to make the Halloween fun and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great. And everyone check out the Facebook page because seeing the pictures really shows you how easy it is and just what a brilliant idea. It's just so simple and really fun, and it definitely will turn a clementine into something a kid wants to open up and eat.
Exactly.
So even the horrible packaged fruit cocktails that the school service sell, you know, gives away, even that you made look fun. So
right. And these ideas, I mean, a lot of them I got just looking around. It wasn't necessarily my particular idea, but I tried to gather them and create some so that we can make it easy and fun. Because, I mean, everybody has so much on their plate right now. I just, you know, hand it to everybody in your audience that you know, good job, everybody, because it's just really hard. I also just want to say that I've been doing a lot about voting, and can I say something about voting?
Sure.
Yeah, just to, you know, I've been actually going out and juggling and putting a sign up saying, got a question about voting, and people really, it's a very confusing, as you know, it's very confusing now, so I just wanted to say a few things. If you're going to do mail-in ballot, just really read the instructions because they are really a little complicated. And for, you know, for people who may not speak English well, or, you know, it's just hard. So try to help other people and read your mail, read your ballots carefully when you're filling them out. And at this point, do you agree that, you know, it's very easy to bring a mail-in ballot in person to an early voting site instead of dropping it in the mail? There's drop-in places at early voting sites. You don't have to wait in line. You can go directly to a mail-in drop-in box. And that's probably the safest thing to do at this point, since our crazy president, who knows what he's going to do. And obviously vote early if you can. And even in some states, like I'm actually in New Mexico right now, we can register to vote and vote on the same day until October 31st. Every state is really different, so it's really important. If you just look online, your county clerk's office is really good with giving a lot of information. And there is another a number that I've been giving out called it's a website, iwillvote.com. That's iwillvote.com. And they seem to have information for every state in terms of all the deadlines and stuff. You should check with the state, though, because I found a mistake for New Mexico. Okay, that's all I want to say about that. What else would you like to
say? Yeah, well, I was just reading that in Iowa, which, as we know, is a swing state, they've closed over 260 polling places because the COVID rate is over 30% at the voting sites. So they've closed over 200.
Can you explain to me how, I don't know how political we can get, but I mean, I don't understand how anybody can believe what he has to say. He's saying that the COVID thing is over, and yet the rates are rising. He never came out with saying we should wear a mask until so late, when already thousands and thousands of people have died, and still people are standing up and thinking he's telling them the truth.
I
don't understand it.
I know. It's really, really hard.
I love this.
Let's hope.
This is just a quote from Voltaire, and it's, "Those who believe in absurdities can make you commit atrocities."
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So I'll just make a plug for this. I was really concerned because I could not figure out the phone bank thing. I couldn't figure it out. So anyway, I wrote a flyer or a letter that I'm very willing to give to anybody who wants it, to share, to post, to send to people in swing states. And if they just email me at info@foodplay.com, I'll send them this flyer. They can update it, edit it, do whatever they want with it. But it's just a way of getting out some more information about how to vote and why it's so important to vote this election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Send it to me, and I'll post it on my Facebook page.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your wonderful food play, because
for more fun.
I love talking about food. You know, and when we talk about peer pressure, a few years ago, actually it was already many years ago at this point, I was brought into a school to do a demo for kids, and a hands-on workshop, actually, not just a demo. But I demonstrated how to roll a vegetarian nori roll, which is basically vegetarian sushi. And I did it for 300 kids in one day, 75 kids at a time in the cafeteria. And, you know, all the PTA parents came in, so they were helpers.
Oh, wow.
And I brought some helpers as well. And I showed all the kids how to roll nori rolls. And, you know, sushi nowadays is, at least here in New York, you know, maybe across the country it's not as prevalent. But here in New York, you know, everybody's eating sushi, even little kids. Although there was definitely certain kids that had never seen it before and they weren't going to try it. But then many of them, because they were seeing all their friends trying it, they did try it. And it was just amazing to see 75 kids rolling nori rolls.
That's such a great example. I mean, that's why, you know, it's so important. It's the parents listening out there and teachers, you know, to role model. So, you know, you would not believe how many times kids are seeing a parent or a teacher going, yuck, you know, or a dad going, ugh, I'm not going to eat those green beans. And that's just, you know, a death sentence for the vegetable. You know, having a can of Diet Coke on their desk instead of something more nutritious. I mean, we really are, kids are, you know, they soak up everything. I love this thing. I was doing a residency in a school about Veggie's Got Talent. It was really fun with fourth and fifth graders. And I brought in a you know how Brussels sprouts grow on that funny stalk? It's such a bizarre looking thing. So I brought this thing, you know, the whole Brussels sprouts stalk, and it was the funniest thing. They said, we want to taste it, we want to taste it. So, you know, I broke off a Brussels sprout for each kid. They went to the water fountain, they washed it, and they all ate it. They all bit into it, and then we were explaining that when you cook it, it's probably going to taste better. But it was just the fact that they were all there watching each other do it, taste it. Made the difference. So that's a super, you know, important thing to get kids to taste it and be excited about it, and that will make other kids try to do it as well.
Yes, as adults, we are role models, and we have that responsibility, and we have to realize that the kids just, like you said, soak everything up.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
As we all know, childhood obesity and diabetes, you know, where, you know, kids used to not get childhood, they weren't obese, they didn't get diabetes. Now
right.
This has become a very, very prevalent disease among young people. Can you share with us if you have any specific programs that you've developed to address this problem?
Sure. I mean, and I think you'll probably agree with me. It's almost like we don't have to, we don't have to pick the overweight child. It's sort of like throughout our society, we're eating way too much processed packaged food products, and we're not eating enough natural whole. In our shows, we do a lot with their, I mean, for young kids, we want to really simplify it. There are go foods and there are whole foods. There's go foods and there are, you know, natural wholesome foods, and then there are woe foods where you want to just, you know, kind of just have them once in a while. And the woe foods tend to be processed. We talk about the steps of processing and packaged, and we talk about what that does to the environment. So it's not good, like I said, for our health or the health of the planet. It's a really interesting, so for everybody, even, you know, everybody on board to try to go more for wholesome natural foods and stay away from all these, you know, kind of junk food products that are loaded with fat, sugar, and salt. They don't fill you up. They make you want more. You know, the addiction of sugar is real. And I like to show this thing. It's called the cost of processing. So you take a potato, you take a potato, you turn it into potato. I mean, I did an exhibit for Center for Science and the Public Interest called the Junk Food Hall of Shame, and it was the shame of the food industry, okay? And so this is a fun thing for older kids to do, is to make a display or an exhibit in their school where each child chooses a junk food product and they research it. And why does this belong in the Junk Food Hall of Shame? And one of my exhibits displays in it was the cost of processing, and it was so interesting. You take a baked potato, this is like a chart, a baked potato, the next it turns into French fries, then it turns into potato chips, then it turns into Pringles, and then you look at the calories, you compare the calories, the price per serving, the nutrients, and the fat, sugar, and salt, and chemicals that are added, and you'll see that with each step of processing, the amount of fat and calories and salt and other chemical additives goes up, and the price goes up, the calories go up, the fat goes up, the sodium goes up, and the nutritional value goes down. And it's very easy to sit and eat a whole big bag that has like 6 or 8 servings of potato chips versus sitting down and having half a baked potato. And so if they can understand that with each step of processing, the nutrients go down, the calories go up, and usually the price goes up. It's a very interesting thing for them to understand that if you can stick with whole natural foods, you're going to be in a better situation. You're going to have, your taste buds are going to be more, tied to what is natural. I mean, that's a really big thing, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I think also, and that's actually one of the questions I was going to ask was how you work with older kids. And that's, you know, a great thing because, you know, the fun productions you put on are great for the little kids, but an older kid's just going to roll his eyes at, you know, some of that stuff.
You know, it's funny because we had such a great opportunity. We worked with some sponsors to create middle and high school shows. And so what we did was we called it This Is Your Life. And we... so much, I mean, for teenagers now, oh my gosh, the whole thing about body image and is so, so devastating. I mean, there's so much social pressure. So we kind of used food and our nutrition show to go into more issues about body image and about, you know, this whole advertising, you know, just like smoking, getting teenagers against what the advertisers are doing to them and showing, you know, for body image, we actually had a Barbie doll. We turned into a life-size Barbie doll to show how unrealistic the proportions were. And then that sort of, just like I said before, it's really important to make connections that are relevant to kids' world. So for adolescents, you know, body image, how they look was really important. So that's sort of the opening we use to get into adolescents', you know, worldview, to talk about body image advertising, and then go back into, okay, so how, what makes up a healthy diet so that you're going to look your best and feel your best, that kind of thing. But I think what you're doing in terms of cooking, you know, ultimately getting kids involved with being creative and having fun in the kitchen, learning how to, you know, they don't even, I don't think you have to be really complicated. I think a recipe that has 3 or 5 ingredients is fine, and get kids mm-hmm. to see that they can create their own thing in their own kitchen. I think, you know, parents having the ability to work with their kids or help kids in their kitchen, going back to, you know, seeing their grandmother, you know, learn about a recipe that their grandmother used, that her great-grandmother, you know, just this idea that they're going to learn how to be in the kitchen with real food, even if it's just making a really fun little snack, I think is really, you know, a great thing you could do with teenagers. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, a little bit of a silver lining that's come out of this pandemic is that so many more people have been cooking.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I always encouraged parents to do was to bring their kids into the kitchen. And I think they're doing that a little bit more now. You know, the kids are coming
yeah.
in.
And,
I mean,
you know, honestly, all these people that are being homeschooled, I mean, you know, I mean, there's so much learning that can go on with cooking. I mean, it covers
yeah.
almost every subject. You know,
yeah.
in our Veggies Got Talent kit idea, we're having, you know, a child might want to research the history, like the tale of the traveling tomato. Like, where did the tomato come from? You know, I think it came from South America. And what happened to it as it traveled across the universe? And how did it affect culture of each country it went to? And it also, you know, what I love about the Veggies Got Talent idea is that at the end of the day, we're going to vote for, you know, which is America's next top vegetable. And it turns out that we really can't choose, because we need all of the vegetables to be at the table to make us healthy. We need all the colors to be at the table to make us healthy. And I think the idea that kids have to understand, like, a tomato is an immigrant, you know, but look at how great that tomato, how it influenced Italy's cuisine, you know. So, I mean, there's just so many ways to tie in food with core curriculum areas. And so, yeah, I think it's a really great opportunity to be at home and be in the kitchen and have fun. Kids can look up recipes, or they can interview their grandparents by Zoom and find a recipe that was a favorite from their grandmother's time
mm-hmm.
and
right.
learn all about the culture that the grandmother lived in. Like for me, I interviewed my grandmother who came from Russia, and she gave me an amazing chicken soup recipe that I still use, and I feel that it really connects me to my history.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm reading a book, Savage Feast, right now, which is all about, you know, immigrant Russian Jews coming over to this country. You know, it's his family's story.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
Boris Fishman. He'll be a guest on my show, actually, in a couple of weeks. And it's a great story, you know, just about, and it's all around food and, you know, how food has such a connection to place. And schools have dropped home ec for some, you know, in so many
right.
schools, there is no opportunity. And cooking is a life skill that kids will do for their life. I mean,
important, like the things that kids really need: cooking, financial understanding, civics. You know, why is that they've been dropped? I mean, I don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, either do I.
I don't get it at all.
Either do I. It's really sad.
It's really sad. I know.
So
like,
we're almost out of time, but I thought maybe you could just share one success story with us before we have to sign off. Any favorite success story you want to share?
Oh, my gosh. You mean in terms of, like, we created something and it really worked kind of thing?
Yeah, or, you know, just, you know, a comment from a kid after they did one of your programs that just,
yes,
you know,
I mean,
made you really smile.
That's actually, you know, that actually is the most rewarding thing in the world. And,
it is.
And I'll
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were several. I mean, we reached 5 million kids, which I can't really believe. But so after a show, I used to be in the show, and I would come to the shows a lot, too, as a nutritionist to answer questions. And I was sitting with some, like, fourth and fifth graders, and this kind of overweight child, young boy, said something like, "Did you have anything to do with the show?" And I said, "Yeah, well, I kind of wrote it, and I, you know, I'm the nutritionist." And he goes, "Well, I just want you to know that I really needed this information. I didn't know this." That was one. And then there was another one when I was in New Mexico. We got to tour all over New Mexico. And, you know, there's just so much soda here. And in these native populations, too, if you go to the corner store, there, you know, the food access is horrendous. And there's only a corner, it's not a corner store, right? It's just like a store. And I was in a place called Zuni, and I've never seen so many cans of soda line the store. I would say 50% of the store were cases of soda. And I actually watched the Pepsi truck come and deliver crates and crates and crates. And I talked to the guy, the delivery guy, and he said, "Oh, this is just one. We come here 2 or 3 times a week with this." So that just was so horrendous. So then this little boy comes up to me and says, "I'm going to tell my parents that there are 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of soda. They shouldn't drink all that soda. They should drink water instead." And I was like, "Yes, please tell them,
yes.
But be nice about it."
Those are the best. Yeah, those are the best. And that's what keeps me going as well. You know, when you really feel like, wow, I've made a difference, you know,
right,
one child. But you've done 5 million. That's amazing. So,
well,
Barbara, I want to thank you. We are out of time.
There's a lot on our website, foodplay.com. There's a lot of free materials. There's a lot of information about how to bring programs to your school, even virtually now. And then this video storybook, I think, would be so fun for families to watch together.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I will, of course, share all this information again on my website and in my newsletter. So, Barbara, thanks for joining us. And everyone out there, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Bhavani at I Eat Green, and I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.